It's very common for opera newcomers to be surprised at their own familiarity with opera because it is so often used in movies, TV shows, and cartoons. And like all music, it is such a powerful driver of human emotion. I'm here with Michael Phillips, film critic of the Chicago Tribune, to talk about the use of opera in film and to give us some examples. So, Michael, tell us, why would a director use opera in a movie soundtrack instead of an original score?
Well, first of all, Lisa, I'd like to sing about this, not talk about it. No, not really. It's irresistible. The impact and the sort of synthesis of all the arts in this one amazing art form. And I'm a novice when it comes to opera. I honestly learned everything I knew about opera at a young age from Bugs Bunny. You know, I mean, there's
like many people.
Yes, and we'll talk about these. I hope there's a couple in particular I adore still. I think opera just has a way of capturing and then expanding on the highest possible emotional peaks that characters are going through in all kinds of films. And somehow, if it's used right, I think opera on screen, whether it's in a story that really is built around opera or just simply using the music, it ends up not competing with the drama, but really, really just sort of heightening it in a way that you just can't deny.
Well, that makes me think, would some directors, though, be concerned that the story of the opera, which could be quite different from the story of the film, would that possibly conflict with what's going on in the film, or is it more the emotional impact of the music that they're trying to use?
Yeah, that's a good point. It really depends on the sort of story we're seeing on the screen. For example, The Shawshank Redemption, which is a lot of people's favorite use of opera in the movies, frankly, because it's part of the story that the Tim Robbins character is playing a bit of this wonderful piece of music, Mozart's Marriage of Figaro, and transforms momentarily, anyway, the lives of all these prisoners in the prison yard. And you hear Morgan Freeman explaining what that opera meant, and nobody understood a word of what was being sung, but somehow it lifted them up and gave them a taste of freedom. And, you know, it's preposterous and corny and you name it, and it's utterly, shamelessly effective. And
that, wonderfully.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
There is the use of opera in film in which an opera is actually taking place, of course, and is part of the story. What are some famous examples of that?
Yeah, there's a ton of them. And one of my favorites is in the film Moonstruck, written by John Patrick Shanley. And the big date between Cher and Nicolas Cage takes place at a performance of La Boheme. And there's opera music all over that soundtrack, and it's all over the story. And that's a consciously operatic study in high emotion. And it's used for comedy, which is what I love about it. And I just love also the dialogue that comes out of them having seen this performance. And for the character played by Cher, it's the first time she's ever seen La Boheme. And she said, "Oh, it's so sad, you know, and then she died. I knew she was sick, but I was really..." and it's just a marvelous way to kind of get people to who may not know La Boheme themselves to kind of experience what it's like to kind of just dive into that sort of high emotion. That's a great film, I think.
You mentioned at the open the influence of cartoons mm-hmm. on appreciation of opera for generations of people who maybe never stepped into the opera house being exposed to this music in such a joyful way. And it's music that really stays with you forever. So tell us about your exposure, your first exposure.
I can
opera.
Guarantee you I had never been inside the Lyric or any other opera house when I saw What's Opera Doc mm-hmm. Or The Rabbit of Seville, which are two really shrewd and delightful operatic parodies that came out of the Warner Brothers stable starring Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. And I adore these still. It was such fun to go back and see these again before our conversation here. And just the idea that Chuck Jones was determined, the animator was determined to boil down Wagner's entire Ring cycle to 6 minutes with Bugs and Elmer sort of going at it. And, you know, there's quotations from Tannhauser and all these other works. And it's just really... It uses the music, though, in a genuinely dramatic way. And that's why those, quote, cartoons, you know, the animated shorts, hold up as fantastic popular art.
Oh, mighty warrior of great fighting stock, might I inquire to ask you, what's up, Doc?
I'm going to kill the wagon.
Oh, mighty hunter, 'twill be quite a task. How will you do it, might I inquire to ask?
I will do it with my spear and magic helmet.
Your spear and magic helmet?
Spear and magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Yes, magic helmet. And I'll give you a sample.
Was the Wabbit.
Probably one of the best known versions or film settings of an opera is The Magic Flute by Ingmar Bergman, which really brings it back to sort of the element of the story and also bringing it back to a child's world. That's what's so appealing about this setting. So what was he doing in his film version that really sets it apart?
I think the reason that film is successful, and it was probably the first full-length opera I saw on screen back when I was a teenager, is it's just frankly theatrical. It's not trying to open up or it's not trying to make apologies for just simply the filmed opera that it is. A lot of it's filmed in the Drottningholm Palace Theater in Stockholm, but they also recreated a lot of the stage space on a soundstage so that Bergman's camera could get in a little closer and that they could kind of have more fun with the mechanics of an old theater. You see this ancient machinery kind of cranking the scenery up and down backstage. And, well, musically, it's just fantastic, you know, and it's also the most charming damn music you've ever heard, you know, at least that I had heard as a kid. And Bergman had a great quote at the time. He said, you have no idea what it was like to have Mozart fill your day every day of filming. And I think the great thing about The Magic Flute, as the critic Pauline Kael said, is that you actually can tell what it was like because it's all over the film. And it's not, the film's fallen out of favor a bit. It was originally shot for Swedish television, but it actually was a theatrical success all over the place, including the U.S. And I hope people rediscover it because it really is one of the best.
Michael, it's such a fascinating subject, the use of opera in film. We probably could go on for hours more with so many different examples.
I know, and I never got to sing.
Okay, next time.
But thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael Phillips, film critic of the Chicago Tribune.